Which everybody, I think, knows each other. Well, maybe
Steve is new.
Yeah, let's start with Steve. Go ahead.
Chris, you can introduce us.
Yeah, Steve Hike is our new accounting manager. I'm sorry?
He's just introducing
him.
I'm sorry, I'm not hearing well.
Okay, his name is Stephen Hike. He's our new accounting manager.
Oh, good.
He replaced Mary Fanoni.
Oh, okay. Hi.
Who went to work for the city of Cathedral?
Correct.
I'm Stephanie Salt.
Nice to meet you.
And...
why don't we go around quick?
Yeah, let's go around quick.
Stephanie, go ahead and introduce yourself and we'll go around.
I'm Stephanie Salt. I'm an RN. I worked in open heart and trauma here for almost 30 years. And I still have my license one more time. So I come to aggravate less. And he's nodding, you do.
Happy New Year to you.
that's why I've lived here 66 years. And I'm only 39.
Ezra Kaufman, district resident.
Mitch Blumberg, Chairman of Governing Board, Desert Regional Medical Center.
Michelle Finney, CEO of Desert Regional.
Carol Rogers, retired registered nurse.
Les Sandel, still licensed, although voluntary licensed physician. And that means I can't practice medicine for a living. And I don't.
But you can volunteer.
But I can volunteer, and
me
I do.
Too.
I always like that term, practice.
Yeah. So I'm Andrea Hales, Special Assistant to the CEO of War Relations Officer.
I'm Chris Christensen, Interim CEO at the Denver Healthcare District.
And Christine, please introduce yourself.
Christine Lane, welcome to Chief Quality Officer. Desert.
Welcome everybody. Next we have approval of the agenda. There is one minor change, the meeting minutes, and I'm sorry I didn't catch it when it first came up, is not June 21st, but the meeting minutes are July 19th, and we have some copies out on the table as you come in. So may I have a motion to approve the agenda?
As amended.
As amended.
I
second and approve. There we go. At this time, we have public comments. Comments from the audience, maybe items not listed on the agenda that are of public interest. Policy of limiting speakers to not more than 3 minutes. Does anybody have any public comment? Ms. Salter?
Yes. I just got some interesting information from a nurse at Desert Hospital, a longtime nurse who's also been in management in the unit and so on. I had hoped she'd be here today, but she couldn't. I think she had to actually just call me to work. But she gave me the information that she has found in the neonate intensive care unit that there are bugs. Saw a spider crawling on a child, great baby. And then she mentioned the hours of the 12-hour shifts are being cut. She mentioned that people are being laid off. And she had some very disparaging comments about what is going on there. I will meet with her next week. And I will get a full report, but that's the best I can do today. It sounds like there are health issues here. I know some of the rooms are dirty, but then again, you can't give a housekeeper 17 rooms to clean and expect them to be clean. So there are a lot of issues, and that's what I have to say for now, but I will have a full report from this nurse who wishes at this moment to be remained anonymous for the due to retribution. And harassment, which is, of course, real. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Can I ask a clarifying question? If you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Here.
No, of course.
The ants, were they reported to somebody, like the supervisor?
Well, I don't know. Bless. I don't know if they were ants. She said bugs.
Bugs. Were they?
Well, there was a spider on a neonate, and was it reported? I don't know, is the answer.
I would hope, if I may editorialize, I would hope that any safety issue would immediately be reported, however up the chain it needed to go, even to the hospital administrator, if there was nothing done about it.
We would hope, but, there is retribution. I don't know, unless it may have been. I didn't ask that question. I just got this information, and like I said, I hope she'd be here, and she texted me at the last minute that she was called, she had to come in, so she's not here. Mm-hmm. So I can't, that's all I can share at this time.
Sure.
I don't know, I will know, mm-hmm.
And that there is an anonymous line that things like that can be reported, no retribution.
I know, Nurses have tried that, and I've seen the results from that. But thank you.
Yeah. It would help to get things like that in writing so that we can submit them.
Yeah, well, as I say, I will be meeting with her next week when she...
And anonymous is okay if she does...
Well, I'll talk to her about that. She's been in-house over 20 years, so she's a major nurse. It's not someone who ever comes out and just constantly this, that, and the other. This is somebody, this is a very major nurse who I take very seriously when she says something.
All right, thank
you. But I will have a report.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that.
I would appreciate it, too, because we do have the facility on regular pest control. It's actually a contracted service. I must say it's Echo Lab in conjunction with another. So if there are issues that aren't being addressed, we do need to follow up with our contracted vendor for taking care of things like this.
All right. Thank you.
Did you have something?
Yeah, I have a public comment. I would say that from looking at today's agenda, the committee seems to have lost its way. The past meetings seem to have focused on looking at how the hospital did across the parameters of various quality systems and reporting systems, with an eye towards making suggestions as to how quality could be improved. And I don't see where any of that has resulted from those past meetings. Similarly, the issue of staffing seems to have come up over and over again with regard to both the emergency room and the hospital floors, and I don't see that addressed either. So I'm not quite sure what the purpose of this committee is.
Thank you, appreciate that comment. I also had the same comment about getting an annual report when it is also to be presented to the full board, which you all attend, so this seemed to me this was redundant, but staff thought it was important, so I went along with it. Okay, let's keep going. Is there any old business?
Approval of the minutes.
Okay, approval of the minutes.
I move the minutes be approved.
All right, I second it. All motion carried. Is any old business? New business, annual report. I understand this is information discussion. Ms. Finney?
You want me to present it?
Okay. Yeah, can I make a comment first? I mean, we haven't talked about this, but I mean, the annual report is part of lease compliance. And so just like there are reports that come from the auditor that go to the finance committee, I think that it is appropriate for this to come to here and then not be presented to the board other than informational, and then if the board has questions, they can ask. But that's my view. Of course, I'm only one member of the board.
Okay. So section 14.12 of the lease agreement does require that the hospital CEO or hospital representative, which in this case would be myself, goes through and accounts to the district on certain lease provisions and attests to the compliance of the facility to those particular lease provisions. So I was just going to touch base on what it is we're attesting to, that we've maintained compliance over the last annual reporting cycle, which is a June through May reporting cycle. So from June of last year through May of this year is the period of time that this report covers. So it's very dry, but to give you some optics on it, one of the provisions that we attest to is that we have paid all real and personal property taxes, and that we have paid any and all assessments that have been levied against the facility. So this is a factual statement that we have paid and continue to pay all utility bills, which is correct, that we have maintained the premises as an acute care facility, which we have, that we have maintained that we are in material compliance with law during an impact over the period of time that we're attesting, which we have, which includes nurse staff patient ratios, that we are that we have incurred and paid the cost and expenses associated with maintaining the premises, that all alterations, additions, or improvements that may have a net book value at the end of the term of the lease of $1 million or more are not undertaken unless otherwise approved by the board. So there have been no material improvements that would have a net book value in excess of $1 million termination asset value during that period of time. We have only disposed of personal and real property as an ordinary course of business. We've not sold any district assets. That we have maintained all the coverage requirements as called out in the lease, which we have, and a copy of those policy sheets are attached to this document. That we've maintained earthquake insurance, which we have. There is a provision that says that we disclose annually to the district any areas where we have incurred a material damage to the building and what we have done about that damage to the building. So during this period of time, as previously reported to this organization, we did have damage to the underground business office and EBS area in the facility. That was due to the September 9th, 2017 monsoon that hit Palm Springs. We did evacuate the business office. We actually relocated them over to the El Mirador building. And we did do remediation of the area. We did do the air sample controls to show that the air is of quality. And the repair work totaled $766,000. The other component that we did include in here, although it was not cost to the hospital, it actually was cost to CE, but it did cause disruption to a utility, and that's when we experienced the transformer, the SCE transformer that blew last year. And SCE did choose to replace all three of their transformers, one blew, but they considered the other two unstable and in need of replacement after that had occurred. So that work was complete on May 19th. We have not been in material default with any of the provisions during the year. We have maintained compliance with law on hazardous material management. We have complied with the section that says that we have to operate the hospital without discriminating, and that we have to maintain that the hospital is there and to serve the best interest of the community, and that we will not move any of the core services over to JFK. During this period, we have not materially terminated or reduced the core coverage, any of the core services that are called out in the lease arrangement. We have not assigned or sublet any of the hospital building. And any subletting that was done under the master lease in El Mirador has been disclosed to the district and is attached as a confirmation to this particular document. We have maintained our Joint Commission accreditation and licensure. We have maintained our obligation to be a member of the Medicare and Medicaid programs. We have maintained our requirement to have a self-governing medical staff and maintained our requirement to have the medical staff obligated to prepare and maintain medical records. We had four fines, so there's a section in the lease that says that if you have been fined in this period, that you have to disclose. These are items that have been previously discussed in this forum and at the board meeting. So there were three fines that were levied in this attestation period. One was a patient case from November of 2014, in which we received the fine for that case in December 19 of 2017. And I think you're aware that there's a lag in, you know, it's usually a lag in that reporting period. We did receive a fine on a case from April of 2015.
I'm sorry, on that last one, you said it was appealed. What was the resolution of the appeal?
We have resolved the appeal on all three of these, and the resolution was a reduction in the fee. So we did receive a case in November of 2015 that we received an April 17, 2018 fine. And we had a case in October 2015 in which we received an April 17 fine. And all three of these have been previously discussed. One was a blood transfusion case, one was a critical value reporting case, and one was a transportation monitoring case. The next section talks about maintaining...
I have a question about that.
We'll do questions at the end, I think.
All right. Could you then say what section of the...
Lease?
14.9.
Okay. So section 14.10 talks about maintaining our local governing board and operating that governing board within guidelines that have been reported to and approved. Reported to and approved by the district, so that has been maintained intact. We have a requirement that we do not remove the donor identifications throughout the facility. Those are still in place. There is a requirement that we do not materially alter the primary mission of a healthcare facility, and that we maintain our charity policies, which we have done. Then on the last, there is a section that talks about our need to attach to this report, which we have done, capital expenditures that exceed $1 million, the certificate of coverage, a utilization report on core services, the subtenants that are in the El Mirador building, and then a copy of the hospital license, which all of those are attached. And on the core service component, we do go ahead and give you what the patient day statistics, surgery statistics, ER statistics, outpatient visits, and we give you capital expenditures. These numbers will not match OSHPOD reports because those are done on a calendar year and this report is done on a fiscal year. And you have a list of the governing board members are also attached.
Thank you. Questions?
Yeah, I've got a question first. Is there any reason why the report can't match the annual calendar so that they can match OSHPOD numbers?
I'm absolutely open to doing that. So I have to have people go back and restate things. But I think it had to do with the date. I'm not sure the date the lease was entered into, and that established the 12-month.
No, there's nothing in the lease that specifies whether it's a fiscal or an annual.
It is up to this body's discretion.
Chris, could you look into that
and see if they'll check, verify with
you? Yeah, I think that's a great idea, though.
I actually made that request when I first came here. So I'm with you. I'm with you on this.
The second thing I have is I'm looking at your list of governing board members.
Yes.
It includes the two members who are ex officio as coming from the district's
board of directors. We're not ex officio.
So what is it? What is that relationship? I seem to get like different, you're just community members?
Well, no, the lease includes a position for two directors to be placed on the governing board.
So as community members.
We are governing board members.
Hey, that's why I refer to you as ex officio. You have to be there.
Well, no.
Any two of you have to be there. Two of the five.
Okay. My understanding of ex officio means that they can't vote.
And
we do vote.
Yes, I understand that.
Okay.
Why are you ever listed on the list that goes to Office of State Healthcare Planning and Development?
We are. Why wouldn't we be?
I suspect you would be.
The only thing is, if it's...
You were listed the last 3 years. I can go back further.
Well, you haven't been on it for 3 years, have you?
No one from the district is listed. Neither are you, as a matter of fact.
Okay, we'll look into it.
Yeah, I mean...
Thank you. Now
ours can change. We don't have the same terms that a community board member or position board member. It can change. And the president appoints whoever the two people are going to be each time.
Yeah.
So I have no idea, but that we can.
So that's the 17 year or the 16 year?
What, 17, 16, and 15. I can go back further. I don't think you've ever shown.
any board, hospital district, I mean, just healthcare district board members.
On the governing board.
On the governing board.
I think you should go back far enough to find some.
Yeah, we'll look into it. Thank you.
All right, the other thing, I have a question, that section 14.9, is it?
Yeah.
Do we have a copy of the lease here? I don't read 14.9 quite the same way.
It's on the website.
Yeah, I know.
Would you like me to look it up?
Well, I've actually looked it up. It has nothing to do with reporting penalties.
With what?
It has nothing to do with the reporting of any penalties leveled by the state. 14.9, certification that lessee has, during the certification period, use commercially reasonable efforts to complete the capital projects listed on Schedule 14.9 to the agreement as may be mutually determined by the lessee and the district, and to spend on future capital projects over the first 3 years of the agreement a cumulative amount equal to or at least the cumulative capital project expenditures of Desert Hospital Corporation for fiscal years 95-97. Documentation, submit status report on all capital projects as of the end of this certification. Now, it only took me a year and a half of asking to find out that Tenet Healthcare had actually performed some capital improvements that approximately equaled what Desert Healthcare Hospital Corporation had spent during those 3 years, 95 to 97.
Could you hold on 1 second until Chris gets back? I think he went to get the document.
And what I think is that the hospital never fills that in correctly, because it would be then an admission that it exercised $18 million plus worth of legislative authority from this board, and that would make it subject to the Brown Act and the Public Records Act as a leased hospital.
We will look into that and get a legal opinion.
Did you get that down, Andrea? You recorded it, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm okay. Yes.
It's a good question.
Council Scott's opinion on this maintained that no, it wasn't the legislative body, because it didn't exercise any legislative authority, and I guess $18 million is not any to him. Similarly, he couldn't find Schedule 14.9, and the letter that the board asked him to write to Tenet Healthcare, giving them an extra year to get to that $18 million figure, he's lost. He lost it out of his personal files. He lost it out of the files he's supposed to keep for his correspondence for this district.
Yeah, we're aware of that.
And I don't believe this person should be general counsel anymore.
Well, the problem is that nobody has that information.
The only information that we managed to find is the information that conveniently fits whatever narrative Council Scott wants to give.
Chris, I don't know what he's talking about. Do you?
We'll take the information, we'll develop response. Okay. We have responded
That's
to this
all we
before.
Can do.
I'll double check the records. I don't know if I have this in the wrong section or not.
Could be. Okay. Did you have any questions or Dr.?
I have a comment at the end of the meeting. That's that. I don't have any questions about the report.
The lease also has some language in it about compliance with hospital seismic standards. And I know that there's conversations going on about that. Is there anything to report that
we
have
here? Can I answer that question?
Sure.
And Michelle, will you please help me? The hospital is totally in compliance with 2020 standards for safety.
Correct.
And the 2030 standards, which is not about safety, but about being able to operate the hospital after an 8.0 earthquake, mm-hmm. We and about 50% of the hospitals in the state of California do not meet that yet. We have done, the district, with the cooperation of the hospital, has done part of phase zero of the mm-hmm. study, which estimates the the cost of repairing to 2030 standards, what needs to be done. It's a wider range, mm-hmm. and that's phase zero. It's now in phase two, which is going to narrow that range, mm-hmm. and that will be presented to the board. What month? Seismic.
December.
December.
December. Okay. I keep asking.
Yeah.
Okay.
That answers my question. Any other questions, comments?
I did bring an update to provide you all on the items that we were working on to complete from the condition assessment report. So if you would just...
Okay.
I know I keep asking, where are the elevator?
S1 elevator has been completed.
And signed off by the fire department?
In use. And we started the S5 elevator.
Can I make a comment about the role of the committee? I think Ezra raises a good point, and I'd like to try to respond to it, but also to make some suggestions. I do believe that the role of the committee is to keep the public informed about quality of care issues. And we did that with a leapfrog and the CMS reports. There have been updates of some of the items in there at the governing board meetings, which you or I have reported at the district meeting, if there is any significant improvement in, say, patient satisfaction or things like that. Christine, help me. When is the next update for LeapFrog and CMS reporting? I know there was a sort of a preliminary update for LeapFrog, but they decided not to. Can you explain what they decided not to do?
That was the star rating.
Star rating. CMS.
The star ratings get
LeapFrog
upgraded.
We should have for next month.
Yeah,
we not.
We got a preliminary score for LeapFrog, but they didn't give it a grade yet.
So they have to do the curve before they can give it a
grade. Okay, could you do each one individually and sort of give us a timeline?
So LeapFrog, we should have by next meeting, we're currently a B. We should be able to report next meeting what our score is for the following, or the past year.
And when you present that, will you present it like you did last time?
Yes.
What made up that score?
Yes.
And could you, and I know that things change, but if you could compare where we, certain scores with where we were last time, it would see where the improvement has been made, but also where there are still deficiencies?
Absolutely.
And then
I don't know that we have any idea on CMS because
they... CMS,
help.
What's happening here is every quarter they release to the hospital a aggregate total, but so many different hospitals have questioned the legitimacy of how they're doing their numerical scoring that they're not releasing the hospital's numbers publicly. So therefore, the last number that was released publicly was December of last year, I believe. And that's what's still publicly on the website.
So, which is a
one.
One star.
Yeah, since then, bumped to a two. Then we bumped to a one. And so we're due in the next couple of months. Hopefully by December, we would have a new star rating for that.
December
is the goal. So by January, we should be able to announce what it is. But if they decide not to publicly release again, then it puts the numerical scoring that they've given to us, you know, you can just compare what you've been in past years, but it's not a public document at that point. So.
I believe there was bring it at the next meeting. I believe there was an article published somewhere, maybe from the Hospital Association, talking about the problems with CMS scoring and how you're comparing teaching hospitals to community hospitals with Medi-Cal or Medicaid and academic, whatever it was. I don't remember, but if you could bring a copy of that to the next meeting, I think.
That is one of the exact reasons they haven't publicly reported the numbers, because they feel it's not a light comparison between hospitals.
And there was some dialogue about sections that you can opt to report or opt not to report. And that could influence how a facility is scored if they choose not to report in certain categories. And that's excluded from the calculation where that might have pulled a score down, or it could prop a score up.
Okay. Now that I have that as a baseline, I would suggest, in response to what Ezra brought up, that if there are categories where we scored a certain way, and our own quality data, which we track on a monthly basis, shows an improvement, we could bring that, or not an improvement, or a decrease, we could bring that here, or could we bring that here?
We really aren't until CMS and LeapFrog publish, facilities are embargoed. So we have to be a little bit cautious about that.
Okay.
I have to think on that some more, because we are under an embargo.
Maybe then we could make some generalizations. Like, for example, one of the reasons the score was low, this is a hypothetical. One of the reasons the score was low was that Lyme infections scored a certain way. And we've been tracking Lyme infections and we've seen a improvement for this or that. Maybe we could do that just as an example, just to confirm that you, which I know you are, working on the areas mm-hmm. that were identified.
There is a parallel with CMS to the LeapFrog, so I think focusing on the LeapFrog first will give a lot of the data that does cross over to CMS as well. So.
Okay, so perhaps
to start with LeapFrog, I think that.
Okay, perhaps instead of waiting till December for LeapFrog, we can begin to bring some things as a progress report.
Well, LeapFrog should be out by next month.
LeapFrog for October.
Oh, October.
Yeah, it should be
okay.
out for next month.
Great. Okay. Super. Thank you.
Because really, they've already done the scoring. They just have to do the bell-shaped curve to figure out how the grades are going to be divided in that curve.
Right. And let me just add another point, if I may. Having been involved in many organizations, not many, several organizations that deal with quality, there are two components to quality. One is what I call true quality, improving quality, whatever. The other is figuring out how to measure things and to, play to the numbers or figure out how to change the numbers. And that is especially true on some of the public reporting of quality measures that hospitals, instead of hiring staff to actually improve a quality number, whether it be infections or things like that, they fix the coding staff, or they change the way the surveys are done, and not actually improve quality, but the reporting of quality. And I hope whatever resources we spend really do address true quality. I mean, we also have to be concerned about public perception and what's being reported, so a certain amount has to be. But I do know there are organizations that spend so much money on looking good on these surveys, yet if you go into what the outcomes are, they're not really that different. That was an editorial comment.
Well, we attended the California Association of Healthcare District meeting last week, and one of the requests I made for future consideration of our association was to ask the districts who are members who lease their hospitals what tools they use to evaluate their hospital's safety and compliance issues. I know that Grossmont Hospital, and we share the same legal firm, has a very active tool, and board members actually tour the hospital with their engineer on a regular basis, and they have areas that they monitor much like this. So but in more detail, so I'm hoping that when we form this committee that this was something that that path that we could go down. So hopefully our association will give us some guidance on that.
Okay. Chris, could you follow up with that with ACHD just to see what tools they have or what can be shared? I think it's a great idea.
Okay. Are there any more comments or questions?
Yeah, I have a comment. Dr. Zangle, instead of bemoaning the deficiencies of other people's quality systems, possibly we might look at some of the real basics of how this hospital runs. They have a real staffing problem. They staff just in time. This is not like a car manufacturing plant. There's like 4 month rolling averages where they have 106% occupancy of staffed beds. That's the average. That means it's gotta be higher on some days. If you're a Medicare traditional patient, in other words, you're on a fee-for-service, you're gonna spend 5.5 days average length of stay, and I'm excluding the long-term care outliers. But if you're in managed care, it's 3.7 days. I mean, it's like that all the way across the way that the hospital operates.
I'm sorry, what's the, I don't understand the point you're making about
that. There are a lot of patients in that, there are patients in that hospital there to fill up bed days. And that creates pressures on staffing, and it's primarily designed to maximize revenue as opposed to take care of people.
Well, let me just comment on that, if I may. The people paying the bills are not going to allow extended length of stays in order to maximize revenue. And, you know, the vast majority of the people in the hospital are either on contracts or insurance companies paying for it who are monitoring length of stay. So I'm not sure what you're implying, that you're implying that they're actually keeping people in longer so they can maximize revenue?
Yes. And playing coding games. Yeah, because the numbers are too large. The sample sizes are too large. I'm looking at here, third party traditional. I'm looking at like 3,200 discharges for the traditional and 14,000 for the managed. One is managed is 3.4 days. And average length of stay for the traditional is 6.7 days.
But that's true at every hospital, that in terms of the difference between managed care and traditional. That's why there's a push toward managed care.
Right.
Well, and you're also not looking at acute.
What's that got to do with the way that the hospital keeps people in? In other words, are you saying that the managed care people get worse care because they spend less days in the hospital?
No, I believe that the physicians are managing them in a different way because they are they're working for a managed care organization that has additional case managers and things like that to do that. That's why
features. You think there's a clinical difference in the care that those two groups get?
Do I think there's a clinical difference? No.
Yes. So you don't think there's any nosocomial risk to somebody who spends an extra 3 days in a hospital? But he didn't have to.
Well, there's nothing that says they didn't have to.
I'm asking, do you think there was a clinical difference between the 6.7 day and the 3.4 day patient?
I think
these are very large numbers, and this is the type of thing that I think this board should be looking at.
First of all, you can't just do gross numbers like that. You need to look at what the diagnoses are, things like that, elective surgery versus emergent surgery.
If these numbers were smaller, acute then I'd feel that way.
Acute rehab.
But they are large sample sizes.
Mm-hmm. And it includes acuity. And, I mean, we have acute rehab that has very long length of stay. Actually, 30 days.
You exclude length of stay here. They give you the total average, and then they give you the average excluding length of stay. You know, long term stays.
Let's look at that. Will you submit that report to us, and we'll check
these
it
are
out.
All available. This is the OSHPD summer report. There's a 131-page OSHPD detailed report for a district that spends about $800,000 a year on salary. You do remarkably little in terms of like looking at any of the statistics that are associated with the hospital that this district owns.
Thank you for your
information, and we will look into it. Is there any other comments or questions? If not, meeting's adjourned. Thank you for your time.